Hello and welcome to another episode of I-80 Sports Basketball Talk. It's a good smell. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. We are ending the offseason this week with NBA superlatives. But first, Draymond Green punched someone named Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole has been being a bit cocky, talking about pretty much that he's getting this contract extension, allegedly saying that. I don't know. Draymond got mad at him chirping, and Draymond sucker punched him. Anything else?
Draymond Green said he's going away from the team to get treatment for his, that he failed as a leader.
Yeah, who cares?
You know what's funny here? That the silence says it all. None of us, and maybe it's because three of us are in the New Jersey area where we once watched Geno Smith take five fingers to the face.
That was fun. That
too. But we don't see it necessarily. This happens where things get overheated in practice. The two things that stand out more are, of course, one, the fact that there is the leak to begin with, where there was the initial issue of where did it come from and, where did Kevin go? Exactly. So more so the process here was confusing. And secondly, if you watch that again, it is interesting how little initial reaction there is from the other players. Almost a, if he didn't do it, I was going to do it sort of attitude. And so this is more about, Jordan Poole's position on that team than Draymond's attitude and emotions, in my opinion, because again, we've seen leaders like Draymond who lead with solely with their heart go too far before.
Now, I have one thing to add. Allegedly, the person who sold it, and again, maybe this is just a lie that the internet posts, because Twitter lies.
That's fair.
But apparently, the person who sold it to TMZ got like $2.5 million.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Which is
he or she was
a pretty easily understandable amount of money to accept to do that.
Absolutely.
All right. On to the real important stuff, NBA superlatives.
Bring it on.
All right, everyone. We are starting with first coach fired. This is our favorite. We did this last year. We all said it was going to be Luke Walton of the Kings, and it was like 2 days in and he got fired. It was like a week or two. It was actually surprisingly fast.
But we felt pretty good about this one. We felt real good.
I also don't know. Did the Kings hire someone or did they just keep the same guy? I don't even remember.
Kevin, our local statistician, if you wouldn't mind looking. So obviously none of us are picking the Kings since none of us know who this person is. But Kevin, if you'd like to look up for the viewer out there curious if they can bet the Kings in this subcategory.
Mike Brown.
Glad I didn't pick
him. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's a nice soft choice.
All right, so I'm going to start us off here, and I'm going to let you all in a little secret. I cheated, and I put two coaches, but I put them for the exact same reason.
So you'll get half a point if you're correct.
Yeah, I'll take a half point. That's fine. So I put Chris Finch and Steve Nash. For those of you who don't know, Chris Finch is the Minnesota Timberwolves head coach, and Steve Nash is the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. The reason I put both of those as the potential, one of the two being the potential, is the fact that both of those teams are coming in with high expectations. And if especially the Minnesota Timberwolves fall flat early, there's no reason that for how much they gave up to get Rudy Gobert, they cannot let one season go without being division. You have to win the division like that. You spent so much to not even get the division. And then I put Steve Nash because if the Brooklyn Nets start off flat, Kevin Durant doesn't like him. Neither does Kyrie Irving. So it's super easy to be like, oh, well, we don't want him. These guys don't want him anyway, so we'll get rid of him. We'll put D'Antoni in as the coach, and we'll be fine.
Quick question, Kilroy. How much winning in the playoffs do you think Chris Finch needs to save his job?
Oh, no, I'm not even talking about getting that far. I'm talking about regular season. If the team starts off, like, you know,
atrocious.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be atrocious. So, 7-11, let's say. I think the panic button will be hit in Minnesota.
Because that is, they gave up so much. And to have this, to come out and then be like, especially seeing they have a lot of talent, right? You have one of the better offensive centers in the league who's now going to be a power forward. You have the best defensive center in the league. You have a very good young shooting guard in Ant, who has, you know, other issues, but we'll ignore that for the time being. And then you have D'Angelo Russell, who is a potential, who is has the ceiling of an all-star. He's not necessarily at that level right now, but he has that ceiling. So that's four players who are all potential all-stars or better. And you can't, you get Morgan, what was it? How many? 5-7 draft picks, something like that? You just can't let that go that far in. And it, especially seeing it's really, they need to win the division. Then they need to go far in the playoffs. So even if he makes it past this regular season, I don't see him necessarily getting past in the playoffs if they fall out flat and they do what the Brooklyn Nets did and get swept.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I also have Chris Finch and only Chris Finch, so now I'm obviously super rooting for him so I can pick up half a point on you. the logic there by Kilroy is 100% sound and 100% correct. The two things I will add is that it seems like Minnesota's GM and ownership are in love with some of their young guys, McDaniels, for example. So if they need to take a fall guy, everyone is either too loved or too expensive to move on from. So Finch would have to be the logical fall guy there. The other thing I will just add about Chris Finch, his history, here are the teams that he has been an assistant or associate coach for, Houston, New Orleans, Denver, Toronto, and Minnesota. Those are all small, generally small market teams. He seems to enjoy the path of not being in the limelight. And this is probably the closest he's come to that. And so we don't know how he's going to necessarily handle that because we've never seen him in a Boston, a Chicago, a New York, an LA. So we don't necessarily know if he even wants this or if this was just cast upon him. Remember, he was there before they added Gobert. So that'll be interesting to play out as well. But I'm with you, Kilroy. Chris Finch is my choice.
Tommy?
All right. So I've been doing all this. I intentionally went with players and coaches that I figured you guys wouldn't pick. This doesn't necessarily mean that they will be, but it just to create, you know, a discussion about possibilities. We'll see. We'll say. And with that in mind,
last place, Tommy.
What's that?
That's a nice way to explain why you're going to end up in last place at the end of this. But go on,
sure.
With that in mind, I went with James Borrego of the Hornets.
No.
And the reason being, if you want to hear me out, that there's been his tenure there has been mediocre at best. The pieces are now in play where if this season isn't, you know, at least good, he's out the door. I think he's out the door.
So, Tommy, he was their head coach, a coach before the current one. So, current coach.
Oh, don't worry, I read all into it.
Okay. So, I think that they're not going to fire him without giving him at least the whole season.
No. Yeah, it's true. But I didn't necessarily think he might be the first, but someone to talk about at least, you know, as someone who could get fired.
Kevin, would you like to say yes?
James Borrego was fired, and Steve Clifford is the current head coach.
Yeah, he's not the coach. Okay, he's not the coach.
Then my research was off.
I believe we should disqualify that answer and give Tommy the chance to pick a different head coach.
I think it's going to be the person he meant.
Are you taking Steve Clifford is the question here, Tommy?
Which is why I was so confused.
No, because that doesn't seem likely to be a first. I actually, when I did research, it didn't tell me that. So thank you for the update, Kev.
That's why I was waving my hands in panic.
Hey, you know what? He's fired. Maybe he was first. I'm kidding. He's definitely not.
That. It still goes to Luke Walton.
Well, I'll go with Luke Walton.
Again, no, kidding, not I'm a
kidding.
Choice, Tom.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You are 30 options.
I'm kidding.
You know what? Go with Greg Popovich.
Yes.
Oh.
No.
No, I don't expect my Spurs fan to pick Greg Popovich here. Popovich has a Spurs job to ever for fire him.
All right, I'm going to go with the easy answer. Okay, who's the coach of the Magic?
I'll look that
we
up.
We have to look this up every single week.
That's why I asked.
Kevin, you can do it. I got.
Okay, so Orlando Magic head coach is someone named Jamal Mosley. James...
Yeah, I mean, that's... so Tommy, good choice on this one. But honestly, no one cares about the Magic, so they're not going to fire their coach. Or if
that's,
they do fire,
that's how little we all care about this one.
The thing is this: so he could be the first coach fired, and we wouldn't even know.
That I mean, in fairness, the first coach change over the offseason, Tommy had no idea. That Southeast is, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
it's a mess. And it had to be so recent that they hadn't updated anything because I literally researched this like yesterday, 2 days ago.
It was in June.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
so it was so recent.
Either. They fired him with the intentions of getting
Mike D'Antoni.
Didn't get him.
And then they didn't get D'Antoni. And they're like, well, crap. I guess we'll go with the guy who coached before him because he was clearly so helpful for us.
Man, I feel bad because, you know, I put a lot of work into researching for that one. And then
I got misinformation.
That's okay. I'm already looking forward to you picking Tim Duncan as your MVP. But in an effort to get this back on track.
Yes.
Kevin, please help us out here. Who do you have?
All right. So if you haven't been watching this, the previous episodes, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, you'll remember that I had the Atlanta Hawks at 37 wins, and I have them in my standings, not making even the play-in tournament at all. So therefore, my first head coach fired, which I believe will be mid-season, is Nate McMillan. Now, just so
funny you say that.
Now, just so you guys know, and this is the Southeast Division, so yes, we know that's a division terrible. But here's the thing. The Hawks have fired a head coach in midseason before, Franklin Pierce, who Nate McMillan took over for at some point in 2021. So there is precedent here. Hey, if you can't even make the play-in tournament and this team didn't make the playoffs, this team didn't do well last year, and now they fail again to even make the play-in tournament, head coach is going to go. So that's where I went with Nate McMillan.
If I understand your logic, Kevin, and
you're going to be mad in a second. I'll tell you that.
That's fine. I've been wrong before.
I guess that's who he's having win coach of the year. So Kevin, I understand your logic. I personally think the Hawks are going to do better than that. So I don't see that happening. But I do understand based off of what you're projecting them to be. That makes sense.
Hey, I got to have numbers to back up my thing. I didn't just pick
No, you don't. This is superlatives.
And I mean, to be fair, in Kevin's defense, that's why I went with the Hornets coach because I had to back up what I had my numbers that I had before. I mean, you know.
So, to your defense, Mongo did say he had the Kings coach last year without knowing who it was.
That's true, which is why I really thought you were just going to double down and say, "Give me the Hornets, whoever." The fact that you then changed teams was really a shocking moment in this show's illustrious history.
Just remember, I usually provide shock value.
Mm-hmm. Going from first coach fired to coach of the year.
Oh, it's going to get spicy.
So I have one I think is a good choice here. I went with Willie Green, the head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay.
I think that's a good, safe pick. The Pelicans made a lot of good moves. I actually, I don't want spoilers here, but anyway. I just think that the team got better. Zion is in shape. As he doesn't have to stay healthy the whole season. If he just stays healthy enough, this team, I think, can easily just be a sixth seed. I know the West is strong, but still, they're a very talented team. And if everyone plays well together, which all indications point to they should, the only thing is you're adding Zion to the mix. But I don't know if adding a talented player is going to make your team worse.
That's fair.
Most cases, it doesn't.
So...
I smell some DeJounte slander right there.
But if I was a betting man, I would go Willie Green.
If I was a betting man, first of all, I love that choice, by the way. If I was a betting man, I would be the hedge champion of the world. And with that, for those of you who have no idea what hedging is, it is making a second bet that helps protect your first bet. Is a very short definition of that. And so for coach of the year, I'm going with Chris Finch, baby. If you're playing along at home, my first coach fired is my coach of the year. Here's the thing. Chris Finch is absolutely meaningless in this year. He means nothing. This is a team that will be able to run itself. And more importantly, this is a team that either will need some time to develop or won't. But from January to April, they're going to have the same record regardless. So if they get off to, say, 7-11, he's fired. If they get off to, say, 12-6, all right, cool. We're probably in first, maybe second place, and that's what we're looking for. In the grand scheme of things, that's meaningless. That's maybe 46 versus 52 wins. It's still a good team that's going to make some noise in the playoffs. But because he's going to be judged on the small sample size that is the first 20 games, either he's going to survive 20 and then look real good when he's the coach of a good team at the end of this, or he's not going to survive the first 20 and be the first coach fired. So, Chris Finch, I got you twice, buddy. Don't let me down.
It's make or break, Chris Finch.
And it can be either. Honestly, make it or break it. I don't care what you do. Just don't be decent. Be good or be bad.
Watch it be both.
I should also probably real quick mention that if you happen to watch our superlative show last year, we're not terribly, terribly good at this. We do about 10 superlatives, and it wasn't like the winner was at like 8 or 9. I really think either I won with 2 or maybe someone snuck to 3, but it's a low number. So hedging a bet here is pretty genius when we're only going to need a couple to end up looking like the smartest human on the show.
Tommy?
All right. Sorry, Kevin. My coach of the year is Nate McMillan. I'm from the Hawks. And for the complete opposite spectrum here, I think this is arguably the best team he's had in his tenure as a coach of any team he's had. One of the best teams he's had, on paper at least. On paper at least. I know that look you're giving me.
I believe they'll fail, but that's beside the point.
I can give it a look.
Yeah. But I mean, the ball's in his court, you know. No pun intended. Like, if he can't make this work, then I will agree with Kevin. But if he can, he has potential to be coach of the year.
Quick question. Can you remind our viewers how many wins you had the Hawks just for kicks?
Oh, I got to look. Give me a second. I can pull up. While I'm doing that.
My coach of the year is going to be Monty Williams.
Bill Jackson.
No, Monty Williams, my friend. The reason I have Monty Williams as my coach of the year is because I believe he'll get a couple extra sympathy votes with the situation in Phoenix. And I believe that with 54 wins, while it's still a decrease from the 64 wins from last year, I think that's still a good enough job. Hey, he had all this turmoil in Phoenix and he still came up with a 50 plus win number. I think he's got a great chance to win coach of the year again. So I'm going with Monty Williams.
All right. So I had Atlanta 53-29. Also, I'd like to point out that before the mess with the Suns that just happened, I had Monty Williams as my coach of the year. So I can agree with Kevin there.
Yeah, if you're out there being like Kilroy and probably thinking, and I'm putting words slightly in your mouth, but I could tell from your reaction you weren't thrilled with that pick. The obvious anti-Monty Williams voter out there will say that team is going to be good no matter what. It doesn't affect, you know, it's coach independent. But I will say that depending on where you're looking, what, you know, Vegas site you're looking at, Monty Williams has been roughly top 5 on any betting site for this particular prop bet. So this is not us just creating a narrative here. He has been getting national respect, you know, as a repeat offender of coach of the year here. So it's certainly a viable pick by these two.
So can I say this?
Sure.
I think he's a good choice. I don't think he's going to get it though.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair, but it's still a good choice. And I mean, again, this is inches. I mean, an injury to anybody changes this one, because this one, again, and with all due respect to coaches out there, and if you're a coach of a high school team, of a little league team, whatever, I respect what you do, but at this level there is so much that is out of the coach's control. that this is the one we are strictly guessing on the most.
Like Kyrie Irving going AWOL.
Yeah, like guys choosing whether or not they want to play basketball.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Monty Williams is one of the coaches that was influenced by Pop, right? He had worked with Pop in the past.
I believe so.
I just want to point out that we're seeing a lot of that. A lot of coaches now have worked in that system, and they're getting success because of it.
Hmm. Okay, so Monty,
something to keep in mind at least.
Good call, Tommy.
Well, it's interesting because Monty Williams did not actually coach on the San Antonio Spurs at any point.
But he was on the Spurs.
He was on the Spurs from 96 to 98. It's more of an indirect from his days as a player than his
That's
days
fair.
As an assistant coach.
That's fair.
That might there be. That might
not as much as I thought.
That I might surprised. Honestly be more influence. When you are a player and you actually get to feel, think about like any teacher you ever had. If you were to go and try and teach a class, you would just do what worked for them. Seeing what Popovich did and saying, if I ever get my chance, that's what I'd want to do. Might be more influential than Popovich taking a coach aside and going, here's how you do it, because that feels almost forced. Again, if you're out there and you've ever had a boss that just tells you do this because that's the way we do it, not as effective as learning it or experiencing it, you know, firsthand. So that might actually be more of an influence to Tommy's point.
I mean, there's a reason like a lot of Spurs fans want Monty Ginobili as the coach when Pop retires.
Same idea. He's seen it, even if he hasn't had it, you know, verbatim thrown at him. He's seen it.
And he's a superhero.
Much like
he is the Batman. Slap.
On to the next.
I forgot.
That's all.
Nice pickup by Tommy there. All right, what do we got? I'm ready. I'm ready to guess Chris Finch again. I hope it's Defensive Player of the Year.
It is Executive of the Year.
Chris Finch is taking over.
Now, for those of you who are actually paying attention to this episode, good for you. We're 20 minutes in.
If you stayed with us this far, bravo.
I said that Steve Nash on my list of first coach fired, but I have winning Executive of the Year, Sean Marks. For how little cap space they have, the Nets had, and a lot of dead picks that they lost, I think they made a lot of good moves this offseason to improve the team and to get, I believe they did get a bit of draft capital back as well. So I like what the Brooklyn Nets did. I still don't want them to succeed because, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, but, I'm hedging. I'm trying to win at least a couple of points.
That's fair.
That's it. That's my points.
I respect that.
I don't care about winning. I care about discourse.
And it should probably be mentioned that, first of all of these votes are subjective. There is no pass-fail. There's no checklist. So what I'm about to say, I get, means nothing. But this is Executive of the Year, not Executive of Career. So Kilroy's logic makes sense. The Steve Nash hiring was not in this in this fiscal year. So if, you know, voters should not be counting the Steve Nash hiring for or against Marks when picking front office of the year this year. So his logic that Nash is bad, Marks is good, is perfectly valid. That can happen. So just to in defense of Kilroy's logic there, I'm going to just take what I feel is the safe bet here. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers front office, and I'll name names in a minute here. They have to be the front runner right now with, you would think, not only have they landed the biggest move so far in this fiscal year with the Donovan Mitchell signing, but they also did it. Yes, Kevin?
Cleveland Cavaliers GM Mike Gansey.
Yes, but I think they would give it to Kobe Altman, president of operations. You stole that name from my tongue there, but I'm not sure if it would go to Altman or Gansey. But either way, I'm just taking the Cleveland front office person as a whole here. Gotcha. But regardless, so not only did they make the biggest splash by getting Mitchell, but they did it in a way, you know, where if they didn't get him, it's not like, you know, the Knicks didn't get him and they're the talk. Cleveland kind of snuck in there where if they had lost it, you wouldn't even know it. So bravo to the front office, not only for landing that player, but some good cat and mouse in the way they did it. Additionally, I think they're one shooter off the bench short, but they're in a position where maybe it could be a Lamar Stevens or a Dylan Windler and a second rounder at the deadline, maybe for a Doug McDermott or maybe for a Terrence Ross, you know, an expiring veteran, where I think they're still in position to maybe not have a major trade deadline, but a very obvious and necessary trade deadline. So I think their grade is still going to get higher as they go. So give me the Cavs front office.
Real quick before we move on to Tommy. I thought about the Cavs as well, front office as my choice, but I also thought of the Pelicans as well, because as I was alluding to with Coach of the Year, they made a lot of really good moves. So they have a lot of talent. I could see them doing the same as well.
But you're staying with the Nets?
I'm sticking with the Nets, no. But I just these were the ones that were I was mulling over in my head. All right, Tommy.
Which means Tommy's going with the Detroit Red Wings. Let's see.
Oh God.
What Tommy was with this time, Tommy.
I actually really like Mongo's, but in retrospect, I probably would have picked that one, but I'm going to stick with mine just for the sake of conversation, and go with the Atlanta front office.
This show was great only because Tommy and Kevin disagree so much on Atlanta. If Kevin believes,
Kevin, can you verify for me who the name of the GM is for Atlanta?
Sure.
Thank you. But it comes down to the move. Those moves. Maybe they didn't do enough, but it's the effect on that team. I think is what's going to matter.
Yes, you're not still Danny Ferry somehow.
No. You're not going to believe this, but on June 13. Ex-Nick Landry Fields is the new Atlanta Hawks.
That's the name. I wanted to make sure I was saying the right name here.
Which, kudos to you, by the way, Landry Fields, for landing this job. I like to see
Ex-Nick. Landry Fields like 30.
He's older than you'd think, but still quite young to be a GM.
Landry Fields is 34 years old.
He's only a year older than us.
Yeah. He's old enough to still be in the league. He's young enough to still be in the league.
Yeah. But he's your GM, which surprised me because I had no clue.
But it really comes down to not the quantity of moves they made, but the quality of the moves they made and how I think it's going to affect them this season. Which, again, you already know how I think this is going to play out for Atlanta. If I can make a little sidebar, I think on the other end, the moves that the Spurs are making might be beneficial in the upcoming seasons for his chances for executive of the year. Look for me to say Brian Wright in the next couple seasons.
Right, which is fine. The same reason I did not go with Danny Ainge for the Jazz, even though he did a lot, is this is going to go to a team that's winning. They're not going to give it to a team that tanked.
Correct. Absolutely.
Real quick, Kev, before you go, I do got to give credit. I think most people are going to look at, if you're out there thinking Cavs, Timberwolves, Hawks as obvious choices, just saying biggest move is going to win. Yes, there is some merit to that, but I think very underrated for the Hawks is the Kevin Huerter trade. Because they put so many picks into getting Murray, to then turn around and get some draft capital immediately back for Kevin Huerter, who was going to get very, very lost on this team now with Murray being there, I think was very smart. And I think that might end up being more valuable towards Fields' credentials than the Murray signing, to be honest. Kev, what do you got for us?
I don't have a lot for executive of the year, so I just went back to my standings. I saw that the Denver Nuggets I predicted with 61 wins, and I picked their GM I don't know why I forgot off the top of my head. Thank you very much. It's Calvin Booth, the GM of the Denver Nuggets. If they win 61 games, I believe he's gonna win executive of the year, and I believe that the move that defines his executive of the year will come at the trade deadline, because I don't believe they'll be at a 61 win pace at the trade deadline, but whatever move he makes at the trade deadline will get them to 61 wins.
If you were to rewind 1 year to our episode last year, I believe I said something. I picked Denver, and then I said something like, if you just picked the Nuggets for the next decade, I wouldn't blame you, because this is an organization that seems to always do the right thing at the right time. And so, Kevin, I have to salute this pick because you're just listening to me.
I had your thought in mind when I made this pick.
It's a very good organization right now that has been doing the smart move for a while. So well done.
All right. On to Rookie of the Year. Now, my Rookie of the Year, I'm actually taking a note. I also do listen to you.
Ha ha.
I went with Jabari Smith of the Houston Rockets. As you were saying, the Houston Rockets are young. They don't have a lot. They're just trying to figure out who the talent is and getting them as much minutes as possible. I believe Jabari Smith is that talent. They're going to give him tons of minutes, and I'm going to give a projected stat total here. Not full stats, just I think he's going to be one of the first 2010 rookies in a long time.
Okay.
20 points, 10 rebounds. That's going to be his average.
Okay.
Cool. Or in that ballpark. Yeah.
In the interest of time, I'm going to take everything he just said, but say that I'm talking about Paolo Banchero, not Jabari Smith. Going to get a ton of junk minutes, going to get a ton of playing time on a team that favors development over winning right now. Could easily be a 2010 guy. I got Banchero, same exact logic, though, so I respect that pick. Tommy.
Wait, hold on. Before we go to Tommy, I just want to put up the last rookie to do a 2010 season that Kilroy mentioned is Blake Griffin in 2010-2011, 22.5 points per game, 10-plus rebounds per game.
Not only do I think both of our guys are better than Blake Griffin, I think Paolo Banchero can jump over two cars. How about that?
Which way? Are they stacked on top of each other, or are they side by side?
They make a T shape, so he jumps over it diagonally.
Or is it two by two? Is it 2x2?
Nice.
No, they're RAV 4x4s.
Okay, that was good.
All right, Tommy.
I'm going to take their argument as well, but this time I'm going to go with my boy Jeremy Sochan.
Oh, I was really hoping he was going to forget that and go with Chet Holmgren, only for us to remind him he's out here.
I'm not that dumb. But I don't think so much the points, though, are going to be what his merits are. And I recognize he's more of a dark horse pick compared to someone like Banchero. But it's his defensive end. And I think by the end of the year, we're really going to see, because he's going to get a ton of minutes, too, on a team like the Spurs. So I think we're going to see after the All-Star game or the trade deadline, we're going to see his game get more rounded out. He'll get more points. In preseason, he's already looking defensively strong.
Can I change my?
No, cannot
not
change
my, your not my rookie like year. I want to change my most improved, who I haven't even said yet.
Yeah, I mean we don't know your sheet. If you haven't announced it yet, you can.
Oh yeah, if you haven't announced it yet, that's fine.
Tommy, sorry, real quick, Kev. Tommy, I love that pick, and I think just to reiterate, you know, Sochan's defense is going to be evident immediately, and him and Branham's, counting stats are going to be much higher than they should be because there really is nobody there. So
they've got nothing but room to grow, really like about the Spurs this year.
Kev, are we going to – is this a fam hand here? Are we going four different people? What do you got for us?
No, we're not going four different people. Mongo took all my reasons. I'm also going Paolo Banchero. I want to try to encourage Paolo Banchero name droppings this season as much as we did Franz Wagner last season.
Yes.
Now, I will say this. I'm surprised none of us picked Keegan Murray.
Thought someone was going to pick Keegan Murray. In fact, I almost did.
I refuse to ever admit that a Sacramento King can do something good in the NBA.
It's a Sacramento King. What can you say?
Speaking of the Sacramento Kings, I know this is a complete sidebar, but if you stayed with us this long, you'll put up with me for 1 second. Congrats to the Seattle Mariners, effectively the Sacramento Kings of baseball, for breaking their playoff drought. So bravo, Mariners. Sacramento Kings, it's pretty much you're pretty much the joke now of the Big Four, Sacramento.
That was painful. They beat my Blue Jays.
Oh,
man,
sorry,
why'd you have to bring that up?
You're Blue Jays, Fred?
Yes, fan? I'm a Blue Jays fan.
I'm sorry.
I can't name a Blue Jays player. I cheer for the Blue Jays, yes.
Yikes.
Oh, that was painful to hear.
But still, shout out to the Mariners. Anyway, next topic. Here we go.
All right, so we're switching up my own with the order that we have. I'm going to go with we're going to go to most improved just because I pulled up my change. I originally put someone who, in retrospect, was a terrible choice, so I'm not even going to mention who it was. Anyway, I'm going to go with Cameron Johnson. He is expected to be a starter now, I believe, for the Suns. And he had the modest numbers of 12.5, 4, and 1.5 on 46, 43, 86. I don't necessarily expect him to be at a high of a clip for threes, but I expect him to be around similar numbers. So, 45, 40, and like 85 seems to be about expected, but I expect his numbers to jump. I expect him to be closer to like 15 points, definitely more rebounds, and maybe up to about 3 assists. I don't know if that's going to be enough just because it's hard to tell, but
right.
When a player goes into the starting rotation, you expect their numbers to increase, especially seeing he was only doing 26 minutes a game last year.
So, this one angers me. You want to see who? Because I saw who you did, and we had
this. Sorry to interrupt, but do you guys hear that? I want to make sure you guys aren't hearing that from outside.
No.
Someone's blasting loud music. I want to make sure. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good. No worries. So if I was just trusting my heart here, I'd be going with Moses Moody, and I'm just dropping that out because if it turns out I'm right, I'll feel even worse about myself. But he should basically be taking Gary Payton the second's playing time. And since he did so little last year, it shouldn't take that much to be improved. With that idea in mind, I actually originally, I the name I'm about to give, I don't count. This angers me, but this person is getting fourth best odds in Vegas. So I guess the experts figure the NBA voters are going to count this person, and I have to take him. I'm going with Zion Williamson. I disagree. He shouldn't.
But it's going to be like last year's Ja Morant, I'm going to call it, where the people who actually improved are going to get ignored for a big name. But this year it's going to be Zion getting it.
Yeah, and I don't know why it shouldn't count, but
it's because he hasn't played.
As soon as he hits his first free throw, he's infinitely more improved than when he was the year before. So in terms of most improved, mathematically they're right. He has to be the most improved because it's coming from zero. It's an absolute cheat code, but I'm going to trust that Vegas knows what they're doing here.
That's literally what happened last time.
I'm going to go with Zion Williamson, fully aware that even I don't like taking Zion
Williamson. So who would have you? If
Moses Moody. I would have gone with Moses Moody. In the spirit of the game says take a young player who is ready to make that next logical jump. You saw in limited minutes, Moses Moody was ready to do it. I also think Damian Jones, if he ends up winning the starting job center for the Lakers, could also, when we saw what he was doing at the end of the year there last year, now with guys like, you know, LeBron, you know, able to always feed him on the pick and roll, things like that, Damian Jones could have some nasty stats, but he's splitting time with Thomas Bryant a little too much for my liking. But again, I'm gonna take the cheat code here and go with Zion Williamson.
Tommy?
I want to talk about last year just real quick.
For what team?
I want to talk about last year about the most improved situation because Mongo's right. It last year, it was two clear options for most improved, but they gave it to Ja Morant, who is arguably more of an MVP caliber almost. And it bothers me that this is what MIP has come to. Not recognizing the players who actually have improved. Like last year, I will swear behind DeJounte Murray deserving most improved last year. And
you're just so mad that he's not with the Spurs.
No,
I don't disagree with you.
No, I don't disagree either.
You wanted Murray, yeah.
I'm okay with Murray being gone. But for this year, my pick was Jalen Brunson.
Nice.
I think he's in a unique position where he can, because he showed what he's got last year in the playoffs with the Mavs. I think this is going to be his shot to show that he can lead this team if they want him to lead it. And I think that's what's going to factor in here.
Tommy, I love that pick. You're going to run into the same problem I did last year. I went with Kyle Kuzma last year, and my disclaimer was because he was so good 2 years, not so good, but he was good enough 2 years ago that to see a substantial jump was going to mean he would have to be astronomical. Brunson did have good numbers last year. So for him to show the most improvement, he's going to have great, great, great numbers this year. Yeah. I do think he's going to be improved. But is it going to be enough?
Yeah, and I think the best comparison I can make is to last year to DeJounte. I think that this could be his DeJounte moment, we'll call it, where he gets to really shine. Because about it. Who do you have alongside him that's going to be like your big name Knicks player?
I mean, it's still going to be RJ. Still going to be getting the most of the shots, and will that's most fair. Likely be the leading scorer on the team. And I will say, I understand you. I actually thought about putting Jalen Brunson. Until I looked at his stats from last year, and his stats were just too good that I can't see him making a huge enough improvement on them. He's
but you also got to recognize that he was playing under Doncic last year.
That doesn't matter. He's still not going to be the primary focus. He's still going to be the secondary option.
Okay. That's fair.
He averaged 16 points. I'm rounding here. 4 rebounds and 5 assists. Even going into starting rotation, he would have to probably get close to 8 or 9 assists. He's 6'1", and the Knicks are already a very good rebounding team. I can't even see him improving his rebounding numbers enough where that would be impacted too much. But even with his points, I can't see him getting more than 18 to 20.
I mean, let's put it in different, just to put a comparison here to the guy I said, Moses Moody. And again, just one random example. And again, rule number one of statistics, always use them to your advantage. But last year, we said basically 16, 4 and 4?
16, 4 and 5.
So if he goes to 26 and 6, which would be an awesome, awesome season, he basically increased his points by 25% and his rebounds and assists by 50%, or up 150%. Meanwhile, all Moses Moody would have to do is get to 9 points, 3 boards, and 1 assist, and he will have doubled all of his stats. You can see why if you're going to play the percentages game here, it's a little bit of a tough sell. But I do think he's definitely going to be way better. And I do think because he's now in New York, if he has the exact same stats, people will believe he's much better, which will be to your advantage.
Yeah. And again, I want to emphasize again that these were more unconventional picks. So I'm not sitting here saying that I believe that he'll definitely be it. I just think he's got a shot.
Oh, he definitely has a shot.
I like it. And he's also one of the Vegas favorites. He's right up there with Zion. So I'm
all over it. Definitely has a good shot at it.
But that might be where you run into it. Kevin, let's see where you went with this.
So I almost went with Zion Williamson for all the reasons Mongo said. Plus, I believe that Zion Williamson will hit a few more jump shots this season just for kicks. But I am going with my man Jalen Brunson for most improved player of the year. I believe he is going to reach 21 points per game, and I believe he's going to hit 40% from downtown.
We can agree sometimes.
Last year, he that's true. Last year, he hit 37% from downtown in the regular season. His assist-to-turnover ratio was only a 3.0 exact in the regular season. I believe the assist-to-turnover ratio will be closer to at least 3.5 and 4. And considering this is New York, where we suck at finding point guards, this a 3.5 or 4 assist-to-turnover ratio will be godsend in New York.
I respect that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all agree that he is a good choice to pick for this.
It just depends on how – it really just comes down to, are the voters feeling more objective or more subjective when they make their vote? Because I really believe his narrative will look better than his math will at the end of the season, again, because he's in New York. So every game-winning bucket counts triple in the eyes of the media here, you know, that sort of thing. So it really just comes down to how are the voters thinking about it.
And now, I will say – that we Brunson might not get it because there's a chance that him being there could really help RJ to the point that RJ becomes an actual efficient shooter, which is
okay. I really like that idea.
That's true. And then at which point Barrett could be your most improved player. Brunson could accidentally literally hand this award away.
Which, hey, as a Knicks fan,
that is a total Knicks move right there. Total Knicks move right there.
I wouldn't object to that.
Right. Yeah, don't get me wrong. If the problem is we have too many improved players, yeah, I'm okay with that problem.
Yes, that's all a great problem to have.
Absolutely. All right, where are we going next?
Moving on.
Can they be co-winners?
I don't think they're going to be co-winners.
No, I know.
I love it, but I don't think they
I'm joking.
I am doubling down and going Luka.
Oh, didn't you do that last year?
I went last year. Ah. Last year was Luka, so this year I'm doubling down going Luka again. This year, we are not getting fat Luka to start the season. We are getting in-shape Luka. So I think he's going to start off hot. He's going to carry this Mavericks team like he has been. He doesn't have Jalen Brunson anymore. I don't think Christian Wood is really a good number two, even though he's not really a number two, but he is their number two somehow. But coming off the bench, Spencer Dinwiddie's very good. But again, these guys are not going to be enough to take away from him, but the team is going to still be good enough that he's going to be recognized. And I think that eventually, even if it's not this year, the next, as Mongo was saying, in the next 10 years, he's a great bet.
That's true. If you just take Doncic until 2035, I like where you're at. I like where your head's at on that. If you guys don't mind, I would like to go last on this one because my logic is actually kind of in the negative. I eliminated people more than I chose somebody. So I don't want to take away anything from your people. So Tommy, you want to go next and then we'll come back around to me?
I'm going to go with someone a little, obviously a little less likely, but still I think could do it this year. No. Can you imagine if I said that? actually, Donovan Mitchell.
Okay.
By reason of new location, opportunity to really explode better than he could in Utah. I think the Cavaliers are another team where, like Michael pointed out, like they made a lot of great moves, and this is the move that I think could put Mitchell into that caliber, or at least close to it.
Okay. It's not a bad choice. It makes sense. I like it.
Totally fine choice.
Again, I don't think it's the choice to make, but again, a lot of my picks have been for the sake of conversation to bring it up, you know, to bring in other options.
Yes, Kevin.
Sorry.
Okay. You have more to say,
Tommy? I was just waiting for Tommy to finish. Sorry.
I thought he was, yeah. Sorry.
All right. So I went with Nikola Jokic. The Nuggets had 48 wins last year. I have them predicted to go 61 wins. Top team in the West, plus 13 win differential. I figured, okay, slam dunk, Jokic, let's go.
I almost went with Jokic too. Okay,
so I will say this. I don't disagree with you, Kevin. I feel there's voter fatigue at this point, though, and he will not get 3 years in a row.
Yeah, so when you take a look around Vegas here, basically Doncic, Joker, Embiid, KD, and Giannis are your top five in any order. With all due respect to Donovan Mitchell, I think that's a great, you know, second tier choice. But those are basically your top five. And so, Kiora, the only spot I disagree with you on, I think there's a real shot that the Mavs are like in eighth or ninth in a growing West, especially if the Lakers can stay healthy, if Portland can gel, you know. And so I don't think they're going to end up with enough wins to where Doncic can be considered a true MVP. I'm with Kilroy on Jokic. I say it a little bit of a different way. For me personally, if you've ever watched 5 minutes of us, you know my belief of the NBA. The narrative is that it is a stars league where the MVPs are the champions. You know, Jordan was the MVP, all the rings. LeBron's an MVP. Kareem's an MVP. My heart can't take a world where Jokic is a three-time MVP and has no championship hardware to show for it. So I literally can't go with it. I also think with all the Nuggets coming back, if Porter Jr. plays, if Murray plays, they're going to have to cut into his stats a little bit, even if the wins are higher. And then for Embiid and KD, I just think for those teams to maximize their win totals, Harden and Kyrie are going to have monster seasons. So it's a catch 22. Either those two teams will win 40 to 42 games, but those guys will have great numbers, or those teams will win 48 to 50 games, but they're basically be a 1A, 1B situation. So that leaves me with Giannis. I think Giannis is in the clearest position to being on a team that will win 50 to 60 games. I think Giannis has the clearest path to being the definitive alpha on his team. So I'm going to take, again, what I think is kind of a safe choice here and roll with Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I really like that, and I honestly almost went for it, but I couldn't not just keep going, doubling down on Luka.
Yeah, and especially if you believe that Dallas is going to clear themselves of the play-in, if you think Dallas is a top six team in the West, take Luka Doncic. I just don't think they are. But if you believe that they are safely in the top six, take them. Because if they make the top six, it's because, I mean, Doncic is going to have bonkers numbers either way. But to your point, Christian Wood, JaVale McKee, these are not earth-shattering, you know, roster ads, and they lost Jalen Brunson. Doncic is going to have some wild, wild numbers this year, and if he has the wins to match it, I'm with you. He's a no-brainer, but I don't think they're going to get there.
Kevin, I think you had something you wanted to add?
Nope.
No? All right. On to Defensive Player of the Year. So this is apparently just going to be a crapshoot because Marcus Smart won it, and he's not even ranked in the top five defensive players based off of GMs, I think it was, who were asked.
He's not in the top five in Vegas either. They seem to think last year was a fluke, and this is still a big man's award.
So I am going to finally give it to Bam. I think Bam has done enough where he will finally get it. And this way the NBA can shut him up so he stops pitching.
Yeah, I also pick Bam. Sorry, spoiler. I think Cat is going to eat into Rudy Gobert's defensive numbers enough. I think everyone wants it to go back to a big after last year's controversy. So I think Bam being in the same system with the same players right off the bat will help him. I have Bam Adebayo as well. Tommy, what do you got for us?
So I didn't think of the two cutting into each other when I came up, when I determined this, because honestly, I think the two of them are going to be a really scary defensive duo. I had picked Rudy Gobert, but I like your logic a little more, saying that they may not, by virtue of them both being there, you're right, they'll probably cut into each other's numbers. But I still think one of them have potential to be defensive player of the year, but I had to go with Gobert.
I don't blame you at all. I mean, there are two particular categories I came in to recording with my mind not made up. Mm-hmm. One of them was this, because I was like, I'll just flip a coin at, 9:17 p.m. of which one of these I like better. So if my choice is 1A, your choice is my 1B. So nothing wrong there, Tommy. Kev, what do you got?
I just went with Giannis. I just couldn't think of anyone else. So I was like, okay, pick Giannis. Let's go.
So I just want to say all three were in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only reason I didn't go with Giannis is because, having already hedged the Minnesota coach, I didn't want to have Giannis on both sides of the ball, MVP and defensive. But these are, to me, this one's not the one to get cute on. When we do six man in a minute, trust me, I'm getting cute. But this is not the one to be getting cute.
I think we all are.
So for six man, I'm not being cute. Okay. I'm going with Tyler Hero because I think that this is just, I don't think he will ever become a starter for them. They just gave him $140 million to be the sixth man for the rest of his life. As if he stays with the Heat. Or Jimmy Butler retires, whichever comes first.
Quick update, it's 4 years, $130 million contract extension.
I want to give a quick timeout here.
What did I do?
No, you did it absolutely correct. But we have a listener, Drew, out in Staten Island, who asked us to pause if someone mentioned Tyler Hero. And so I will. Shout out, Drew. Tyler Hero, you can check my number here, Kevin, but
sure. That
is bigger. That contract that you just said is bigger than what the Knicks gave RJ Barrett.
That is true without looking it up, yes.
So I would like to ask my two Knicks fans in the room, Tommy, you can get in on this as well, but what do you guys make of that? Does that mean the Knicks think less of Barrett than the Heat? Do you think that's just an overspend by the Heat? What do we think?
I think, one, it's overspend by the Heat, and two, this makes me feel like the Knicks got a bargain with Barrett, because Barrett seems to improve every year. Not that Tyler Hero doesn't. Tyler Hero still seems to be inconsistent, though, every year. And not that Barrett is not. But that's my point. They're both inconsistent players who can erupt for lots of points. I understand he is a reigning six man, and he is on a championship contending team, so he gets more recognition. But is he that much better than RJ?
I don't think he's better than RJ, to be honest. Let me ask you this. You have that money. You're signing one of them. Who are you signing?
Well, I'm going with RJ.
I'm also going with RJ. Kevin, who are you going with? Are you taking RJ? You're taking Barrett? Tommy, what about you?
I'm taking Barrett.
Yeah, I'd take Barrett. I'd take Barrett, too. I think the ceiling's higher for Barrett.
Yeah, and also just not just the ceiling, the mental toughness.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it already where Tyler Hero doesn't seem to have that mental toughness that you want in an NBA player. Not that I'll say this, Barrett hasn't had that obstacle yet, but you don't know, right? Where at least you know with Hero, if something happens that he doesn't like, it affects him negatively.
Absolutely. Kevin, what do you got?
I think part of the problem is timing, where the Hero extension was after the Barrett extension, and I believe the Heat felt like they needed to overpay to try to keep him happy. I think that if Hero had been extended first, Barrett's contract extension would have been bigger. So this is kind of like similar to the NFL quarterback free agent signings, if you guys follow that. It's just a matter of timing. When do you happen to sign, and how desperate the team is? I would definitely take Barrett in a heartbeat. I think he's got a better overall game. I think he's improving much more than Tyler Hero is. And I think the Knicks are extremely lucky I mean, $10 million seems like a lot to the rest of us normal folk. It might not be as much to an owner, but in terms of salary cap space, $10 million is still a very big deal when you're up against the salary cap. So the Knicks, I think, lucked out.
Thank you. Thank you, my Knick fans in the room. And again, thank you to Drew out in Staten Island for sending us that comment. Again, if you want a shout out on the show, just find us, text us, comment below, however you know us. And we will certainly take a moment out of our busy, busy show to answer your question. So shout out to Drew. Thank you again.
Kudos to Drew.
Do you have anything else on Tyler Hero?
I still am going with him, even though I said all those negative things about him.
Fair enough. Sorry, that was an awkward way to have to sub out and sub back in. But since Tyler Hero came up. So I just want to quickly say in Vegas, Tyler Hero going plus 650. And that is the second best odds you can get, or second, I guess you'd say second most favorite odds. You know, he's not the favorite. He's the second most. I'm going to not say who first is yet, just in case one of you guys are going to pick him. But I will say that the favorite is at plus 400. The guy I'm taking is at plus 1600. And so that's my logic here. The person I'm picking, I think, is just getting really, really good odds. So if you are a betting person out there, this one is for you. And so this person is Bones Highland from the Denver Nuggets.
I like this.
He is going off. Like I said, you can get four times better odds on him than on the favorite. I do think that Murray is entrenched as the starter, but because he is coming off the injury, Highland is going to get a ton of minutes and even get some spot starts. So his numbers are going to be way higher than they should be for what is such a surefired second on the depth chart. So for the odds you can get on him, Bones Highland.
Tommy?
That wasn't a bad pick. I like that. But I have to go with perennial sixth man of the year, Tyler Hero.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't blame you.
Anything he strikes you again.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I don't blame you.
It's like Jamal Crawford or Lou Williams.
Yeah, I mean, it tends – For such an impossible statistic to predict, because one injury to a starter and you're no longer eligible for six man, like it's a bizarre thing. Yet somehow the same 10 guys, the guys you just mentioned, Tony Kukoc, it's the same handful of guys who have dominated the six man of the year award for like the last 30 years. I don't get how it's such a consistent, superlative for such a seemingly, random stat, but alas, here we are. Kevin, who do you have?
To be honest, I had a very tough time with sixth man of the year. I just went with Jordan Poole because I don't believe Golden State will make him a starter this season.
He, by the way, is your Vegas favorite at plus 400. So, Kevin, the gambling nation tends to agree with you. But yeah, it goes Poole, Hero, and then a couple down. I think Highland's like the fifth.
Yes, so, Tommy. I actually almost picked Jordan Poole as my most improved. I almost picked him.
Very safe pick as well there, Tommy. Yeah. Jordan Poole definitely. I think it's going to be Moses Moody, but somebody has to take – not that Peyton was an offensive juggernaut, but while he was out there doing his defensive thing, he was taking shots. He was putting up points. Otto Porter was taking shots. Somebody's going to be eating those. So whoever you believe is taking up those bench minutes, pick them for something. So yep. Not a bad choice.
Why not?
All right. On to the next portion. We are going on to predictions.
Okay.
We have our Western Conference champion prediction, Eastern Conference champion prediction, and then from that, who we think is going to win the NBA championship, and also ending it with Finals MVP.
Green light.
So I'll start with my Western. We'll all do our West, then we'll all do our East, then we'll say our winners, and then we'll say our MVPs.
Sure.
I have winning the West. As in not having necessarily the best record, but coming out on top and going into the finals, the Golden State Warriors.
That's a safe pick, but I like it.
It's hard to bet against them. They've done it like a million times already. As long as there's no major injuries to multiple players, because I think they can withstand a Steph Curry being out for like half a year. And still be a good team, assuming it's the first half of the year and he's healthy for the playoffs. So that's my pick for the West. Mongo?
I want to win. So this, I'm going to give my actual choice here in a minute. Actually, let me go backwards. I'm picking Golden State. I hate every option in the West this year. I'll tell you right now, I'm picking the Eastern. My Eastern champion is my champion, and it's not terribly close. And when you see who I picked in the East, you'll see why I don't like any of the Western choices. But I agree with you. The safest bet is Golden State. With that being said, if you're really out there looking for a semi long shot who could really make some noise, I love the Clippers this year. I mean, obviously they're a risky choice because they have
the curse of the Clippers.
Well, I mean, they're the Clippers, but second of all, you have both your stars are coming off injury. So you really need to get lucky and they need to play the full season. But with the Suns having their internal turmoil, now the Warriors having their issues with Green and Poole and them all being 1 year older, also will be coming off a championship hangover a little bit. You know, we don't know how healthy LeBron's going to be. We haven't seen Denver be able to do it in the playoffs. Pick your favorite excuse. The Clippers have Kawhi, who knows how to win. The Clippers have about 10 deep. They're a deep team. We saw last year they can overcome injury. They were still a decent team, even without two All-Stars. So I really love the Clippers, but I want to win this game, so I'm going to take the obvious choice and say the Warriors. Tommy?
I don't care about winning myself, but I also wanted to – I took a look at what I had for the regular season stats and wanted to apply it to the playoffs when I did this. So with that in mind, I have the Memphis Grizzlies as my Western Conference champions. It's going to come down to – I think this is going to be John Morant's year to – at least in the playoffs, you know. He's going to finally get his chance to go past – what is it, the second round he's made it to? Mm-hmm. The furthest, yeah. I think this is his year in the play. Whatever they make in the playoffs will help them in the long run, obviously, because that's, you know, a given, a pretty obvious statement there. But I think they have the best odds of winning the West.
Just to continue padding my own stats, by the way, here, I said like at the All-Star break last year, if you just keep picking Celtics Grizzlies for the next about 5 to 10 years, you're a genius. So Tommy, thanks for listening to me again.
Real quick before we get to you, Kevin, my fun pick is the Pelicans.
Yes, we that is correct. He did text us the other day saying he can't wait for Pelicans Knicks.
Now answer me this then. Answer me this then. Are they playing or playoff?
The who?
Do you think Pelicans?
The Pelicans? I think that they can be the sixth seed.
I think
they have the talent to be a sixth seed. As long as Zion meshes in with the rest of the crew, they have talent and they have depth. They can easily be a sixth seed. I don't know about like higher than that. I don't want to.
I also need to say, I think there's more variance in the way teams are built in the West than we've seen in a while. And I know we're getting off topic this year, but I will just go on record right now, 9/29 on October 9th, 2022, of saying this could be the year that a play-in team makes the finals. I think we can easily see a team outside the top six from the West make it to the finals.
And that's why I asked that myself.
Okay. I looked back at my picks. Beating the Grizzlies, beating the Clippers, and beating the Nuggets. I have the Golden State Warriors, the fourth seed at 50 wins, having home court advantage in the finals.
Fair enough.
Okay, Kevin, we're gonna wrap back around. So we're gonna start with you now with your East. Then we'll go to Tommy, Mongo, end with me, and then I'll end with my MVP.
Sure.
And the reason the Warriors have home court advantage in the finals is I believe they're gonna beat the Milwaukee Bucks 2-0 in the regular season, because I believe I have the Bucks also at 50 wins and also, ironically enough, as the fourth seed. I have them beating the Bucks, the Cavaliers, and the Sixers. And also, not just that, but beating them 4-3 in every single round.
I'm going to have to go back and watch the tape about 75 times to get all of that, but impressive work, Kev. Tommy, what do you got?
My Eastern Conference champions are the Atlanta Hawks.
Sorry, had to laugh.
I get it. I know, because you said they're going to suck this year.
No,
again,
no
logic, it's okay to be on the opposite side, okay?
No, I know. I'm sorry. I just couldn't control myself. Sorry.
Do you have reasoning?
My reasoning is just everything I've said about Atlanta in previous podcasts and even this episode where I think the moves they've made are going to be beneficial. But and it all, of course, it all hinges on the health of John Collins, and if he stays, how instrumental DeJounte Murray is as an addition to this team, and as always, you know, Trae Young and how he performs. But you know, in my mind, I have to picture DeJounte and Trae Young at least being an improvement over last year, over anything at the very least. And I think that it'll work out for them in the season.
Okay, I'll go.
Kevin's correct. Bucks Warriors final. Next.
I also have Bucks Warriors finals.
Beautiful.
Do I really only have the only interesting one?
I actually thought I was going to be the only one to put the Bucks.
Because let's be real here. Warriors Bucks is a very boring finals.
What?
I didn't. No, think, I, honestly, no, I disagree entirely.
No. Let me preface this. Not because they're going to be boring teams to watch, but because it's not different teams. It's teams that we've seen before so many times.
Which is why I said I don't like my pick in the West, because we've seen Bucks Suns. You know, we've seen the Warriors.
Against everyone else.
Once, if you believe the Bucks are getting in. You know, there is really no sexy choice there. But I do feel better about Bucks Warriors than I do about Grizzlies Hawks. No, also, if you're looking
it's okay. I knew I was going into this. I was doing more dark horse options here.
If you're looking for the all-time worst rated NBA finals of all time, the two teams coming from the Southeast Appalachian area of the country are probably not going to move the needle.
Neither were Spurs. I think Spurs Pistons was also pretty low rated. Sorry, Tommy. I think
no,
Spurs
Pistons you're right.
Had a low rating for the NBA Finals, which is unfortunate because I thought that was one of the best finals we had seen. And if only the Knicks hadn't traded Nazi Muhammad, that could have ended differently.
So I have the Golden State Warriors winning it. I'm not giving like record or anything.
How many games?
I'm not.
Oh, come on. You have four choices. Tommy had 30
come on,
choices.
I got it wrong.
So I'm giving him on record.
I how many games. Come on.
You got to give the number of games.
Fine. In seven.
There you go. Take the safe choice. I have the Bucks in six.
Tommy, what do you got?
I've got Memphis in seven.
And I've got the Bucks winning in the 28th game, which means they're winning the finals in seven games. So I've got the Bucks winning every series in seven games. They know the regular season doesn't count. Playoffs do.
I have for finals MVP, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I have Giannis. Moving on. Nothing sexy about my picks here.
I got Ja Morant.
I went a different direction. For the finals MVP, I went with Mr. Chris Middleton. Because he was injured. And they lost to the Celtics when they could have easily beaten the Celtics if he was healthy.
If he was healthy, Celtics do not make the finals last
year. Yeah, so I figured Chris Middleton's back. He's winning MVP.
MVP of the finals.
Finals MVP. That's what I meant. Finals MVP.
He also has the nicest matchup in that. When you kind of start doing some math of who's with who, Middleton would have to have a big series over Andrew Wiggins to be able to for them to win. So that makes sense.
But I like my pick of Andrew Wiggins. I think that I like it.
I mean, I think the winner of the Middleton-Wiggins matchup probably ends up winning it for their team, which probably makes them a front runner for the MVP. So I think I like both of your choices. Logically, the problem is because of the narrative around it being a star-studded league, it's pretty much going to either be Steph or Giannis.
No, but that's the thing. I think we're going to see Andrew Wiggins become that star this year.
Oh, okay.
My thinking is that I think Middleton is going to hit all the winning shots in that series against the Warriors.
Okay, that I can 100%.
I have Middleton hitting four game-winning shots. So I went with Middleton.
That makes sense.
That's fair.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening in. We want you to comment down below with your finals MVP prediction.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it. Simple assignment this week.
Comments on anything.
Tommy, please make sure to get out of the closet. It's really weird that you're in one.
Yeah, Tommy, whatever janitor's room you've managed.
I really feel like I'm in a janitor's closet right now. It's how small this is.
I can see the firebox behind you.
Yeah, it's super weird that you have one in. So like, yes. if the fire alarm goes off, do you have to call the front desk and tell them what code is on it?
I guess. I don't know. I've never.
Tommy is that guy who volunteers to be in the emergency row on the plane just because he wants the legroom. We figured you out, Tommy.
You got me.
I take no exception to that reasoning.
All right. Catch you guys next time.
See everybody.
Knicks losing in five and to the Sixers in the first round, and Tom Thibodeau gets fired.
Bold. Good work, Spider Tom.
God, I can't wait till Tom Thibodeau gets fired.